Although I had been writing for years before it, I really didn't get serious as a writer until sometime just before I graduated from college. I'd found my way into the theater my freshman year, and by my junior year, I'd tried turning my hand at writing a play. And I was fortunate in that the first play I wrote, I had the opportunity to see it performed in front of an audience. We had an evening of student-directed one-acts, and the play I wrote was selected with a couple of others. There's a thing in the theater called a talkback. Typically, it takes place on opening night. Often, it's in a smaller, more intimate theater or an academic theater setting, and it's where, after the performance, the actors and the director and the writer, if they're available or alive, sit on stage, and the audience has the opportunity to ask them questions and talk back to them about what they've seen. Now, at that point, although I'd written one play, I had already taken all of the narcissism and ego that I had developed as an actor and successfully transplanted that into my new writer role. And then to cultivate it even further by a steady diet of David Mamet and Samuel Beckett, to name a few, playwrights that I admired who, of course, sneered at the idea of explaining their art or offering some kind of explication for their work. So with all of that germinating inside me, I think it's safe to say I came to the evening of the talkback open and willing and ready to talk about my work. To be fair, I didn't start it. There was a person in the audience who didn't seem afraid at all of offering a lot of backhanded compliments and damning the performers with faint praise. And they seemed to be pretty intent on dominating the conversation for the rest of the audience. So by the time they focused their attention on me, the playwright, there was already a low heat simmering up there on stage. And to me, they said, I guess what I really want to know is, what did it mean? What were you trying to say? And I said in reply, well, I'm more interested in knowing what you might have heard, what you might have gotten from it. And they thought for a moment, and they said, well, I guess you were just trying to be as weird as possible. And I replied, well, right now I'm trying to be as polite as possible. And that was when the director of the theater company kind of hopped up and said, next question? The only other thing of note that I recall from that evening was that one of the other playwrights made an offhand comment about how they felt that it was impossible to sustain any kind of dramatic interest when you had two people in a very enclosed space. And they said it was probably impossible to do that on stage. And I had just enough ego and competitive nature in me to say, well, I bet you can do something. And that's what started me writing my second play. It's not surprising to me to think that that night and that talkback were 20 years ago. It feels like it's been 20 years, and I hope in that time I've grown as a writer. I desperately hope that the ego and narcissism have been eroded somewhat by time. I'd like to believe both of those things are true. And I'd like to believe that if even now someone asked me that same question, what are you trying to say? With that same sneer in their voice. Even though I never sit down to write with the intention of doing anything, of saying anything, but writing the story that I've been given as best I can, I'd like to think that I would still try to be as polite as possible, but also answer their question. My second play started that night, kind of as a challenge. But in a way, it really didn't start until a few months later when, very young, I hopped in my car one night around 6 o'clock with very little money, no clear direction, no map, no cell phone, no GPS. This was 20 years ago. I hopped in my car and I headed north towards a destination I had only a vague understanding of where it was and how to get there. It was a 14-hour drive and I drove all night. I didn't have enough money for food. All of that went in the gas tank. When I felt like I could afford it or I really needed it, I'd buy a Coke or a Mountain Dew just to keep going, keep me awake. And I needed the caffeine, not just because I'd been up all night the night before, not just because I was going to be up all night driving with this post-adolescent sense of urgency. Of course, there was a girl involved. I also needed it because I was driving alone, and for some reason, I didn't have any music in my car. This was before iPods. This was before CDs, practically. The only thing I had was a cassette tape, an hour long, 30 minutes to a side, and for some odd reason, I had recorded the same song on a loop on both sides of that tape. And it was an instrumental song at that, an obscure track off of an album that the Smiths put out. Yep, I was that impulsive, and I was that pretentious. I had no clue where I was headed. I had no way to get in touch with anyone if something happened. And no one knew where I was going. And there was no one waiting on the other end for me to arrive. And I drove through the night by myself. And, low on blood sugar and high on caffeine, listening to the same song over and over again for hours, driving alone through the night, sometime around 2 o'clock in the morning, things started to get very strange. I'd be driving and I would see figures by the side of the road, and as I passed, they would dart out in front of my car, and more than once, I slammed on my brakes. But there was no one there. It was a two-lane highway, two lanes going north, two lanes going south, a strip of grass in the middle, and there was one point, maybe around 3 o'clock in the morning, where I could see on the other side of the road, 20 or 30 cars headed south, all stopped, their lights on, cars still running. Everyone had gotten out and they were just standing there. And as I passed, I slowed down briefly until it occurred to me that there might be a reason why everyone had stopped and why they'd gotten out of their car, and that I might not want to know what that reason was. A little while later, somewhat before dawn, I was probably dozing, I admit, something flew at my windshield. I don't know if it was an owl. All I remember really were huge wings filling the span of my windshield and two eyes staring straight into mine, and slammed on my brakes and I swerved and there was nothing there. I made it the next morning after a couple of wrong turns and a lot of asking for directions. I stayed there for 5 or 6 hours, took a nap, and then, as evening was starting, I got back on the road again and drove back south the way I had come. And I really don't remember if anything happened on the way down. It was a long time ago, and I kind of shake my head over it now. I shake my head over that kid just jumping in the car with no plan, no backup, no clue. I shake my head over how lucky I was that nothing happened. And yeah, I shake my head over that same kid writing his second play and naming it after an obscure song by the Smiths called Oscillate Wildly, just because it had been on that cassette tape on a loop. The original script for Oscillate Wildly starts with the line, "As the lights go down, the music begins." And from there we're off, driving through the night, with Charlie and Walter, while the car radio murmurs in the background.
Yes?
Nothing.
You were saying?
It's nothing. I'm sorry. I don't really remember your name.
My name?
Yes. I'm sorry. My mind's a blank.
My name is Charlie.
Charlie.
Yes.
Ah, yes.
Charlie.
Right. Sorry, I've been driving for a while now.
How long?
I'm sorry, how...
How long have you been driving, Walter?
I'm sorry? Oh, it's been a number of hours now.
A number of hours?
Yes. You see, I'm on a trip. I'm going to see a friend. I'm driving at night so that The heat won't get to me. It's warm.
Yes.
Yes. So I'm driving at night.
Yes.
The night is cool.
Yes, it is. At night.
Yes. You're Charlie and I'm...
You're Walter.
Right. Walter. Charlie. You're Charlie. And I'm Walter.
Right.
Yes. I'm sorry. Could you...
Yes?
Where are you headed?
Where? Just down the road.
Ah. Just down the...
That's right. Just down the road. With you, Walter.
Oh.
It's complicated.
I'm going to see a friend.
That right, Walter?
Yes.
Drive much, Walter?
What? Oh, yes. From time to time.
From here to there?
Yes. I do. Drive. A bit. Time to time, yes. Thank you.
From time to time?
Yes. I enjoy it.
You do?
Why, I... Yes. Yes, I do. Absolutely. Yes, I find a real sense of freedom in the open road and the...
Yes.
What is the name of... Sorry. What is the name of that song there?
Just a tune. Pass the time.
I see.
Tired.
Well, that's something I sure don't need to think about. What with all the driving I've got ahead of me. Sleep is the last thing I want to be reminded of.
Sorry.
I wouldn't want to doze off at the wheel.
No.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Falling asleep, an accident, at night, on a trip, sounds like a good way to...
A good way to...
People die. People die from that.
Yes. At night.
Yes.
Are you tired?
No, not at all.
Don't worry.
Oh, I don't. How do you know my name's Walter?
What?
How do you know my name's Walter?
It's your name.
I know that. How do you? I never told...
You told me.
Told you? I... No. Did I?
Yes.
Ah. I'm sorry. My mind keeps...
Blanking.
Blanking. Yes. Blanking on me. Strange. So, Charlie, what is it that you do?
Me?
Well, I don't see anyone else in the car, do you?
No.
So...
I'm a guide.
How interesting. A tour guide.
Sure.
How interesting.
Not really.
Where?
What?
Where?
Where what?
Where are you? Where do you...
What?
Where do you, work?
Where is the question?
That's what I'm asking you. Where?
Here and there.
Ah.
It's complicated.
Well... Just let me know when you need to get dropped off.
Not bothering you, am I, Walter?
What? Oh, no, no, no. Just wouldn't want to miss it.
You won't. Don't worry.
Oh, I don't. But...
Yes?
Of course, you haven't really told me where you're going. Not really. So I wouldn't really know, right?
Walter...
Of course, if you were to tell me, I mean for reals, not just something like just down the road.
Walter.
Not something elusive, but some place, well, that'd be different.
Walter.
What?
Would you like for me to tell you where I'm going?
No, 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 no. Of course not. Absolutely not. I was just...
Walter.
Just wondering. Yes.
It's complicated.
Oh, I see.
So, what is it that you do, Walter?
Me?
Well, I don't see anyone else in the car, do you?
Oh, I'm nothing special.
Nobody's special.
No, that's strange.
What?
My mind's gone blank. Just absolutely blank.
Strange.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Something will come to you.
Yes. Yes, it's just...
Don't worry.
Oh, I don't. What was that?
What was what?
That.
What that?
That thing.
What?
I swear, I could have sworn I saw something out there. Huge wings, must have had a wingspan as big as the car. Absolutely thought it was coming right through the windshield. Some giant thing. I could have sworn...
I didn't see anything.
Something was out there.
What did you see?
Some kind of... Or it was a giant, a huge, something with wings.
Something with wings.
You must have seen it.
There's nothing there now.
Strange. How absolutely strange.
These things happen all the time.
Yes.
At night.
Yes.
Don't worry.
Oh, I don't. Yes, I've heard that. For the past little while, I think I see things standing, waiting at the side of the road.
At night.
I know it's strange, but I keep seeing, I have this impression of, an impression of things at the side of the road.
Things?
Yes.
Animals?
No.
People?
No, not really. I don't know. Maybe. I keep thinking they're going to run out in front of me. As I pass, there's this a movement, and then... I don't know.
I haven't seen anything.
No, me neither. I mean, not really. Just these strange... these impressions.
There's nothing...
I mean, I know there's absolutely nothing out there.
No.
I just think there is.
I see.
You do?
I understand.
Uh-huh.
This sort of thing happens all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
More than you would think.
Absolutely.
At night.
Yes.
Don't worry.
Oh, I don't. Of course, I'm probably just tired from all the traveling I've been doing. I'm on a trip. Going to see a friend. I'm not really tired, per se.
Yes.
Not at all. Just a little, tired. My mind keeps blanking. Perhaps it's all the traveling.
At night?
I'm certain that's it. Absolutely. The traveling, it makes you... My eyes are tired. My mind is exhausted. That's why I'm so dead, so tired. My mind keeps blanking. Traveling does that to you.
Yes.
Doesn't it?
At night.
Absolutely. I suppose that's it then. The traveling, the night, the lateness of the hour, the monotony of the road, it all starts to flow together.
Yes.
Yes. I find myself losing the grip on my thoughts.
Yes.
Absolutely. Sometimes it's as if I haven't even moved. I mean, it feels as if the road is just sliding away beneath me, moving behind, flowing, carrying me away. Do you feel like that sometimes? I do. The rocking, the flow, the movement, the hum, the rush. It's soothing in a way. It's It feels like a... I don't know. Oh, it's like a... Oh. Oh, doesn't it feel just like a boat? Does it remind you of that? It does me. Like a boat on a lonely river. Do you feel that?
All the time.
I absolutely feel that way. I mean, the night is so dark. No stars.
No.
No one else on the road. No cars. No drivers. Absolutely no one else at all. Nothing in front of us but one big shadow.
Yes.
And if you let it, if you get carried away, sometimes your mind, sometimes I imagine things.
Things?
Oh, like the river. Like that little thing just now. Sometimes, even the little things at the side of the road, those wings. And I don't know. Sometimes I...
What?
This might sound absolutely strange, but sometimes I find myself imagining, daydreaming, really.
At night.
Imagining about, I know it's strange, but a little while ago I was thinking about an accident.
Not right, Walter.
I mean, imagining one. A daydream, I suppose.
At night.
But so absolutely vivid. The light and the noise, the heat, the fear, the pain. Death. My mind is wandering, I suppose.
Happens to the best of us.
Well, I'm glad you're here. Absolutely, it's nice to have someone to talk to when you're traveling. A friend, someone to keep you awake. I'm certainly glad.
Yes.
Oh, it's that song again.
Yes.
Must be popular.
I've heard it before.
Yes.
At night.
Sorry.
Yes. If you listen carefully, you can hear the river sliding away beneath you, behind you. Tiny waves lap at the sides. The boat rocks a bit, back, forth, back, forth, back, forth. And it's something like a cradle, rocking you, gently, gently. But there's no fatigue, no tiring, no worry. Just the river taking you along, moving away, floating from here to there. Only the sound of the river, the wood under your back, and the soft singing of the ferryman. Be at peace, rest in peace. Forget the light and the noise and the heat and the fear and the pain. The river is quiet and cool. Soft mists come to you from across the waters. Rest. Listen to the river sliding away. Listen to the water spinning off behind you. No hurry, no time. Just the river, the boat, and the ferryman. Rest. Rest. After a time and a distance, the ferryman points a long bony finger out across the water, and then, through the mist, you can see the shore.
Look. See that line? The red, the glow? It must be the sunrise.
Tempus fugit.
It must be the sun. Oh. It's such a long trip. So long in the shadow, it will be good to see the sun. It's been so long.
You'll be there soon.
It's strange, isn't it? I mean, it does feel like a river, doesn't it?
Yes, all the time.
Well, after such a long trip, it will be good to stop. Won't it?
Yes.
I suppose it will. I suppose it will.
I suppose.
How absolutely beautiful.
I suppose.
Just a tiny thread of scarlet stretched out across the horizon.
Yes.
It looks warm.
It is.
It's been a long trip.
Yes.
It will be good to stop.
Yes.
Going to see a friend.
Yes.
Someone is there.
Yes.
Someone is waiting for me.
Yes, they are.
This would have been hard to do alone.
Yes.
I'm glad you...
Yes.
I'm glad you were here.
Yes.
I'm frightened, Charlie.
Yes.
Charlie?
It's almost over. A trip is hard. Alone. At night.
Yes.
You'll be there soon.
Yes.
And that's our show for tonight. Thanks very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget, you can download a free PDF of the show, including the full script of Oscillate Wildly. You can get that through your RSS feed or at iTunes or by going to the website, thegospelofthomasonline.com, where, of course, you can find all of our past episodes and free downloads to read or listen to. While you're there, click on the contact link and let me know what you think of the show. I'd love to hear from you. Coming up in a week or so, we have a new episode with some interesting things in the works and potentially some special guests. Until then, thanks very much for listening. Take care of yourselves, and I'll talk to you soon. The Gospel of Thomas is a work of fiction. All situations, events, and characters are nothing more or less than products of the author's imagination. At least, that's what he tells us. But really, there's no way to be sure. You might want to be careful just in case. Keep to the main roads and try to get to a safe haven before nightfall. If you must travel at night, it's probably a good idea not to pick up any hitchhikers. The Gospel of Thomas is copyright 2011, T.M. Camp, and it is produced and distributed by Our Own Press. Despite this, please submit all inquiries, professional or otherwise, to the author via tmc@tmcamp.com. He's the one to blame. Except for the music. The music this week was by those nice people at Genius Car, with an extra track from the musician Jimmy Camp. The Gospel of Thomas is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. All other rights reserved. Visit us online at thegospelofthomasonline.com.